Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Kuf Chaf Beis 122. We are in the ninth parak of the Masechta, and we are talking about Tumas Ochlin, and Tumas Nevela. As we approach the Mishnah a little bit later on this morning, we're going to be moving in topics from Tumas Ochlin to Tumas Nevela. Right now, we're kind of transitioning. We're transitioning from Tumas Ochlin to Tumas Nevela. Now, we all know the rules. We've gone over it again and again, and the more we hear it, the more we're going to be comfortable with it. An animal dies without the shechita, so the animal, the flesh of the animal, is subject to tumas nevela. It's a self-generated tumah. The tumah is coming in of itself, meaning it is the source of tumas and avatumah. And if a person or a kli were to either touch or carry the nevela, so it will become tummy. So the transmission of tumah from an avatumah, from tumas nevela, is either through mago masa. On the other hand, if the animal did in fact benefit from a shechita, so obviously it's not going to be a nevela. On the other hand, it's going to be ochlin, it's going to be food. And so as a food now, it is susceptible to tumah. First it requires hechsher, it has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids, but after it does so it's now mukhshar lekabel tumah, it's now eligible to become tummy. And if anything touches it that makes it tummy, so it's going to become tummy. Now, when I say something's touching it to make it tameh, so it could be an avatumah, it could even be a rishon l'tumah. And if we're talking about truma, it could be even a sheni l'tumah that touches it. And if it's kodesh, it could even be a shlish l'tumah touching it. But that already is now too much just for the basics. Let's just deal with the very basics. So as a food, as an edible food, it's something which is now susceptible to tumah. In terms of the parameters of what is considered something which is susceptible to tumas ochlin, so we're going to be a little bit broader in nature, and that's the first mishnah of our perek. The first mission of our parak includes a number of things which are not edible, but nevertheless are going to be servicing as tumas ochlin. And ostensibly the reason why is because some of the items mentioned in the Mishnah are going to be a shomer, right? The bone with marrow inside, the bone obviously inedible, but it's there to protect the marrow inside, so therefore that bone is going to be a shomer. The hide of an animal, certainly protecting the flesh underneath it, so that hide is going to be a shomer. So these items, the bones and the hides, are, even though totally inedible, but nevertheless, because they're serving to protect the food, so therefore they're mitzarif l'tumas ochlin. Not only are they going to be a conduit, a conductor of the tumah, that goes without saying, but on top of that, they're also going to be mitzarif. If this hide and this bone, coupled with the flesh that it's protecting, is going to make a requisite shear of a kibetza through the combined total of the two, it's going to be now subject to Tumas Ochlin. There are other things mentioned in the Mishnah, which are not a shomer, but in other words, accessorizing the food. Spices, that's the kippah, the rotev, the gel juice of the animal, the alal, debated yesterday exactly what that is. Okay, so these items are not necessarily a shomer, but certainly there as accessories to the food, and therefore same halacha. They're going to be a conductor of the tumah, and they're going to be mitzarif as well to get us to the shear. With all that stated, we are now on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera. It's three lines down, is where we left off yesterday. And, excuse me, we're in the middle of a difficult sugya. Now, it's difficult for the following reason. We're talking about now a short period of time where an animal can be subject to Tumas Ochlin, but eventually is going to become a nevela. Okay? How could that possibly be? If you think about it, it's a riddle. It's almost like an impossible riddle to figure out. How can an animal first be subject to Tumas Ochlin, meaning it's edible food, and then it's going to be a nevela? It's going to be dead without the benefit of a shechita? And how do we go from Tumas Ochlin to Tumas Nevela? And the answer is, right, the answer is it's really a difficult riddle. Like if you weren't learning the Gemara, I personally would be hard pressed to come up with the right answer. But the answer is we're talking about two scenarios, one of two different scenarios. One in which a Jew shechted a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. And so even though for the non-Jew, the parameters of death are very simple. Death is when the animal stops convulsing. That is the definition of death vis-a-vis animals agabe, the non-Jew. That means to say that prior to that moment in time, for as far as the non-Jew is concerned, the animal's alive, right? I'd say alive and kicking, meaning, and I mean that literally, it's alive and kicking, and this animal now, vis-a-vis the non-Jew, is still Aver Menachai, and the non-Jew is not allowed to eat it. And it's not until the conclusion of convulsion in which the non-Jew can eat it, okay? And nevertheless, what we learned in yesterday's stuff, and truth of the matter is, we learned this all the way back in the Mishnah, all the way back in Kuf Yizayin Amud Beis, is that when a Jew shechs the animal on behalf of a non-Jew, and it's a non-kosher animal, and even though there's no such thing as shechita for a non-Jew, there's no such thing as shechita of a non-kosher animal. But because the Jew is doing the act of shechita, and because for a Jew shechita is a significant act, so therefore, between shechita and the conclusion of convulsion, so the animal now is going to be subject to tumas ochlin. Okay, that's what we learned in yesterday's daf. I know it takes a while to really wrap your head around it. I've gone over this numerous times in this cycle and the previous cycle as well, and still it takes time to just really wrap your head around the idea. And conversely, we also pointed out the opposite would be true as well. If I had a non-Jew shechting a kosher animal, even if it's for a Jew, so we have a similar phenomena where the animal is going to become an avela because a non-Jew shechita is just simply it's disregarded. It's as if he did nothing, right? There is a tricky Rambam that talks about there may be some effectiveness to the shechita of a non-Jew, but let's just learn the Gemara right now kipshuto. And that is that when a non-Jew shechts an animal, even if it's a kosher animal, even if it's for a Jew, it's nothing. It's a zero. And so that means to say that, of course, the animal is headed in the direction of becoming a nevela. But because it's a non-Jew who shechts it, so the nevela status does not kick in until the animal stops kicking. Okay. Oh.
If it's a Jew with a kosher animal, the convulsion means nothing?
If it's a Jew with a kosher animal, the convulsion means nothing. Meaning that's absolutely.
Why do I say that?
Don't point your finger at me. I didn't say anything. The Gemara says it. Now, Meikar Hadin, we pointed this out yesterday. Meikar Hadin, you can eat the animal immediately after convulsion, but there is a rabbinic requirement to wait until the end of convulsion. Okay, good. These are the basic guidelines and the parameters of death vis-a-vis an animal. So in both of these circumstances, where a Jew is shechting a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, or conversely, if a non-Jew were shechting a kosher animal for a Jew, so in these two circumstances, we walk away with a really unusual set of halachas. The animal is subject to tumas ochlin between the shechita and the actual death, and when death comes around, so then the animal will become an avela. Okay, and there you have it. Now, what makes this discussion even a little bit trickier, and this is where we ended off with yesterday, was the Gemara's question regarding the Braisa. The Braisa says that in order for the animal to actually become Tumas Ochlin after Shechita, but before the end of convulsion, it needs Hechsher. And that part was a little bit tricky. Why does it need Hechsher? It is something which is ultimately going to become a Nevela. Anything which ultimately is going to become a Nevela doesn't require Hechsher. This was the Gemara's question yesterday, and the Gemara provided an answer. We went over the answer yesterday. We are picking up where we left off yesterday. Amalei Rav Yirmiya. So, Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, three lines down. Am Rav Yirmiya Rabbi Zeru Mi Amar Chizkiya Hachi V'Hayid Mashacha Bashnayim Ov Rav Shnayim. If, let's say, you were to shecht a non-kosher animal. I know it doesn't say it, but that's the context. If you were to shecht a non-kosher animal, either Shnayim or Rav Shnayim, meaning the act of Shechita, right? A legal act of Shechita where you're cutting both pipes or the majority of both pipes. V'adayim Hi Mefarcheses. And so now the animal is not yet finished convulsing. So, simple question. Dead or not dead? The Gemara is not going to ask it that manner. The Gemara is going to be asking it in terms of Eivor Min HaChai. Meaning it's a non-kosher animal, so the Jews are not going to eat it. In other words, as far as the Jew is concerned, it doesn't matter. But as far as a non-Jew is concerned, it matters a lot. Meaning, is he going to be now in violation of Eivor Min HaChai if he were to rip off a limb between Shechita and the conclusion and convulsion? So Chizkiya Amar Eino Le'Evarim, Rav Yochanan Amar Yeshno Le'Evarim. And so what we have over here is a machlokus between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan. If you take a look at Rashi on Chizkiya, Amar Chizkiya, Shani Masnissin Demefarcheses, Kaimin and Sha'adain In Batuma Chamura, Vesofa Nami Shema Lo Savali De Tuma Chamura, Sha'arei Hu Yachol, I'm sorry, wrong Rashi. I apologize. Next Rashi. Although the truth of the matter is this next Rashi is coming on the upcoming Gemara, but Amos Vela L'Chizkiya Hadanan Ein Tumas Nevelas B'Mefarcheses. Meaning it's not a Nevela while it is still convulsing. Which means to say that right now the Gemara is assuming that it is simply, I'm sorry, the original position of Chizkiya is Eina Le'Ivari, meaning you cannot take the limbs off of it, because Chizkiya is of the opinion that it is considered still alive. Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, says, no, you can take limbs off of it. Now, Chizkiya Amar Ein Alei Varim Meisahi. Right? Should have just read the Gemara. Okay, so Chizkiya, sorry, the Rashi is on the upcoming Gemara. Sorry for the confusion. Chizkiya is of the opinion that Meisahi, that the animal is in fact dead after shechita. Rav Yochanan Amar Yeshna Leivarim Lav Meisahin. And Rav Yochanan says no. In other words, those limbs are still alive and well, and the animal is, and I mean this literally and figuratively, alive and kicking. And so therefore, that means that according to Rav Yochanan, the animal is still considered alive and subject to Eivar Menachai. Now, that means that according to Rav Yochanan, if we're following him well, that means that if after the Jew shechs this non-kosher animal, and even if he's doing so for a non-Jew, during convulsion, the animal's alive. If a limb were to be ripped off at that point in time, that limb is considered Eivar Menachai. And let's remind ourselves, once a limb has the status of Eivar Menachai, that status does not change. Even if subsequently the animal is going to die, and here the animal is going to die, obviously, but nevertheless that limb retains the status of Eivar Menachai. Okay? Amarle Yatza Mechla Chai Velechla Mesa Lobata. Right? Even though it is not alive, but at the same time, it's not dead. In other words, it's somewhere between alive and dead. Now, Gufa. Shachab Ashnaim Aroshnaim V'adayni Mefarcheses. Chizki Amar Eina Le'Evarim and Rav Yochanan Amar Yeshna Le'Evarim. Okay, so the Gemara now goes back and basically reviews the machlokas between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara now is going to discuss even more. Amar Rav Elazar Nekot Lahad Rav Yochanan Yadecha. Rav Yochanan is the more correct position, that the animal is not dead until the conclusion of convulsion. And during convulsion, the animal is still alive. And how do I know that? Didni Rav Oshia Kavase de Rav Oshia. Because the Gemara says, because consider now the following brisa that was taught. Now this brisa is going to be a little bit on the lengthy side. This brisa actually will not end until about two-thirds of the way down on this amud. This brisa basically covers a third of our amud. And the truth of the matter is that really we're only going to cherry-pick one point of the brisa just to confirm that this brisa agrees with Rav Yochanan. That death of an animal, of a non-kosher animal, even if it were shechted by a Jew, is not going to come at the point of shechita, even though that for the Jew, shechita is significant. But this is shechita of a non-kosher animal. And so therefore, death is only going to come about at the point of the conclusion of convulsion. That's the whole point that we're going to cherry pick out of this brisa, which is supporting the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Okay. The brisa begins. Yisrael sheshacha behema tamelo v'kochavim. So the first case is really the case that we want. We're having a Jew shechting a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. So shachar b'shnayim rov shnayim u'mefarcheses. So if you are, immediately after the shechita, where now the animal is going into its convulsion state, so mitam tumas ochlin, the animal now is susceptible, eligible to tumas ochlin. The shechita is going to be good enough to render the meat edible, so the meat of this animal edible, and subject to tumas ochlin. Now I know that all this is really challenging and perplexing. Because when you think about it, how can it be subject to tumas ochlin? Meaning it's Eivar Menachai, the non-Jew can't eat it, it's not kosher, the Jew can't eat it. So the idea that it's subject to tumas ochlin is really challenging. But again, for tumas ochlin, the fact that halacha is preventing me from eating it doesn't change the fact that it's actually edible. And by virtue of the fact that the Jew shechted it, and for the Jew, the act of shechita is a legal way of transforming its status from a live animal to a food. So therefore, it's subject to tumas ochlin, even though the total number of consumers that can actually eat this animal, I have it right now at zero. Right.
This is the same thing. I mentioned said this already.
Right. Exactly. Agreed. We are just The additional point that we're going to be making over that we learned in the Mishnah is Rav Yochanan's point that it's still going to be Eivar Menachai until it actually finishes convulsing. That's the only additional point that we're gaining from all this. Otherwise, you're right.
Or Rav Chizkiya thinks that Shechita actually does something for a non-kosher animal.
If done by a Jew. If the Shechita is done by a Jew to a non-kosher animal, so Chizkiya says that it is rendered now dead at the point of Shechita. It's not Eivar Menachai. Right? Unclear about that point. Meaning that, in other words, according to Chizkiya, it's an avela immediately, and that goes against our Mishnah? Maybe. Okay. I'd have to think more about that. So, umefarcheses metame tumas ochlin, avalo tumas nevelos. It is not subject to tumas nevela yet, because again, it hasn't finished convulsing. Eivar aparsh me menu kaparsh menachai, ubasar aparsh me menu kabasar aparsh menachai, vasa livnei noach. And really, this is it. You can underline this part of the Braisa. We're here. Meaning this is really the part of the Braisa that we're cherry picking in order to point out that this Braisa clearly is on board with Rav Yochanan. That between Shechita and the finishing and the conclusion of convulsion, the animal is subject to Aver Menachai. If you were to take a limb off this animal, that limb is Aver Menachai. If you were to take meat off the animal, that meat you took off the animal is Basar Menachai. And obviously, the B'nai Noach are not allowed to eat it. And even after the animal dies, that's for the reason that I explained earlier. Because once it has the status of Aver Menachai, it always will retain the status of Aver Menachai. Okay, now, in theory, we could just skip to the end of the Braisa and go on from here. But okay, we're going to be thorough. We're going to read the conclusion of the Braisa and even understand the balance of the Braisa. But we've made the point. Meaning this Braisa clearly is signing with Rav Yochanan that when a Jew shechts a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, so after Shechita, the only thing that changes is that the animal is subject to Tumas Ochlin. But short of that, the animal's still alive. It's not yet an Avela. It's subject to Eferim and Achai, meaning the animal is not dead. And again, by the way, I keep coming back to this, but it really is just a real riddle. In that the animal, for all intents and purposes, halachically is alive, and meanwhile, the flesh of this animal is subject to Tumas Ochlin. Okay. It's amazing. Okay. Let's continue in the Braisa. Shachaba echad rov echad ena matam Tumas Ochlin. If let's say the Jew were to only cut one pipe, so cutting one pipe obviously is not Shechita. And so therefore, it's not going to change the status, and it's not going to give it the status of Tumas Ochlin. Nachra ein ba Tumas Ochlin. Now let's say that what the Jew did is he did Nechira, killing the animal in some other manner other than cutting the pipes of the animal. So then it's never going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. Obviously, it's going to end up becoming a Nevela, but it's not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. Continuing in the Braisa. Now we're going to go in the converse, in the inverted form, where we're having a non-Jew shechting a kosher animal for a Jew. Now during this period of convulsion, matame tumas ochlin. So here too, like we learned in the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, so it is now going to have the status of tumas ochlin. Avolo tumas nevela, but it's not going to have tumas nevela. Why? Because it's not dead yet, and it's not going to be dead until it stops convulsion. And once again, if you rip off a limb of this animal, rip off meat of the animal, the limb is Aver Menachai, the meat is Basar Menachai, and it's going to be forbidden for both Jew and non-Jew alike. Continuing, Shachaba Echad Urov Echad, Ein Matam Tumas Ochlin. If let's say the goy were to shecht only one pipe, that's not Shechita, and so therefore, it is not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin, and basically, when the animal finishes convulsion, it's going to be an Avela. But we skip the stage of Tumas Ochlin. Nachrein bat Tumaklo Shoklum. If the guy were to do Nechira, again, kill the animal in some other way other than cutting the pipes, so then it's not going to have Tumas Ochlin at all. Shacharo v'kochavim b'makum she'in osa oso trefa. Let's say that the guy were to be starting the Shechita, but he only just did a little bit, and the animal is not yet a trefa. Remember, when cutting the windpipe, you can go up to 50% of the windpipe in its circumference, and the animal is not yet rendered a trefa. Now, we could use the term trefa. We may be able to use the term nevela. That goes back to a discussion we had in the beginning of the third perek. In the meantime, however, the animal could still be kosher. Ubay Yisrael v'gamra akshera. And a Jew were to come along and finish the shechita, so that's fine. If the Jew started the Shechita, and it doesn't matter how much the Jew started, but if it was concluded by a non-Jew, so that of course disqualifies the Shechita. Shechita is no good, and so the animal is going to become a Nevela. Now, let's say you want to eat really raw, fresh meat. Back in the day, it was viewed as extraordinarily therapeutic, where if you wanted to be very healthy, you would not only eat meat, but the rawest and reddest of meat. So how do you get to the rawest and reddest of meat? So chotech izay basa mi bet shechita so ma'ocho yafa yafa medicha yafa yafa umamtim la sheteitze nafshava ochla echad av kocham ve'echad yisrael mutarim ba. So here's what you can do. You shecht the animal. You shech the animal, and then right away you cut off a piece of the neck of the animal. Now, why the neck? Because that's going to be the easiest access point right now that you opened up the Beis HaShechita. And so you're going to cut off the meat of the animal. You're going to salt it. And you're going to rinse it. And you're going to wait until the animal finishes convulsion. Now, why are you going to wait till the animal finishes convulsion? Because as I explained a little bit earlier, even though Shechita for us is the matir, nevertheless, as a din derabanan, we wait until the end of convulsion. But then the point is, however, is that we took this piece of meat off basically immediately after Shechita, and it's good, and we're going to wait till convulsion's over, but then we're going to eat it. And this will be a really, quote-unquote, healthy piece of meat. I only put in quotes because, you know, I don't know if our research is going to support it, but it doesn't matter. Bizman HaGemara, this is how they felt about it, and it's totally mutter. Wonderful question, which I know the answer to. Why isn't it Eivor Menachai? Right? So not for you, meaning it's not Eivor Menachai for you, for the guy. Why isn't it Eivor Menachai for the guy? So I know the answer because Rashi tells me. The answer to that question is because we go back to a Gemara that we did a long time ago in the Masechta, almost 100 days ago in the Masechta, 90 days ago in the Masechta, thereabouts. And that is that there is nothing in the world which for the Jew would be permitted, and for the guy there would be aser. In other words, it's just simply antithetical to the entire idea of us having more responsibility and more responsibility to burden, that we can't have something which is mutter, and for the guy it's going to be aser. And because of this very powerful concept, so since for us it's going to be mutter, it's also going to be mutter for the non-Jew as well. Okay. Right. Understood. No. It's in other words, it's mutter for us. It's mutter for him as well. During convulsion, there's an issur derabanan.
Right, but I'm saying for the goy, it's an
I would. If for the goy, it would be also forever. Meaning, if we didn't have this idea. So then for us it'd be permitted, for them it'd be aser. But again, that is an untenable conclusion. So that's why for them it's going to be permitted. Misayela Ravidi Baravin, Amar Ravidi Baravin, and the Gemara is just simply pointing out Ravidi Baravin said the same thing, which is Amar Yisrael Bar Ashian Harotsa Shiavri, if a person wants to be really healthy, so not only eat meat, but fresh. And again, this method of cutting off a piece of the meat of the neck right immediately after Shechita, yes, wait until the convulsion is over, but then after that, eat it, make sure you salt it, make sure you rinse it, and it's really healthy meat. We pointed out in this brisa that we learned together that if a guy does a Shechita, so it will change the status vis-a-vis, it's now going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin, meaning between Shechita and the conclusion of convulsion. Okay. The Gemara says, a simple follow-up question to this. Let's say a guy did a Shechita to a kosher animal, and in the course of the Shechita, the guy did one of the Psule HaShechita. He did Shihia. He did Hadrasa. These are things that would disqualify a Shechita. Now, to really appreciate the Gemara's question over here, let's remind one another. It's not really a Shechita. Right. In other words, at the conclusion of convulsion, the animal is going to be a Nevela. This is Shechita vis-a-vis, that it's enough to change the status of the animal so that the animal between Shechita and the conclusion of convulsion is now subject to Tumas Ochlin. So the Shechita is not actually being matir the animal. It's just giving it a new status until the conclusion of convulsion. The Gemara's question over here is as follows. Let's say the guy did the Shechita, but with the Shihia and with the Hadrasa, which would normally be a total disqualification of the Shechita. Over here, being that this is not a Shechita per se, it is not a classic Shechita per se, do we have to regard or can we disregard these Psule Shechita? Amrle Ahu, Saba, Hachyam, Rav Yochanan, Tzricha, Heksha, Shechita, Kebehima, Tahora. So the statement is that it needs to be a bona fide Shechita in order to change the status. Hechsher lamai. Now, it needs hechsher. Now, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak B'dika Sakin. So you even need so far to go as to examine the knife prior to the Shechita, like a regular Shechita would. Meaning that this has to look like, it has to behave like a totally regular Shechita. So now here comes the next question. Yeah, Bedika Sak is before. There's one before, there's one after. I assume the Gemara here is describing the one before. If the Jew does shear drasa, the animal is dead. Now,
is there too much often?
Right. That's a great question. It's such a good question. A Jew shechts a kosher animal, and the shechita wasn't a good shechita.
Right,
would it be a nevela right away? Meaning before the conclusion of convulsion?
Right. So
I don't know.
I
hear his question. I don't know. Okay. All right. Okay. Next question, the Gemara Tumas Beluin. Okay, here we go. Remember not so long ago we discussed this idea that Tuma Belua. If I have something internal of me, I swallow a ring. God forbid. God protect me. If I swallow a ring and I go into a house that has Tumas Mace, the ring inside of me is going to be protected because I am the protection. I'm the barrier. I shield the ring inside of me from the tuma. This is what's called tuma blua. Now it's tuma blua. It's tahara blua. It shields in both directions. If I swallow something which is tame, the tuma doesn't emerge. If I swallow something which is tahor, the tuma doesn't come inside of me. Okay, very good. Basic ideas regarding tuma blua, tahara blua. The Gemara over here really just wants to test the limits of like to what degree. Is this animal between Shechita and the conclusion of convulsion, is this animal alive or is it dead? And I know, by the way, it is one of the, we're still in yesterday's stuff, but it's literally one of the most confusing questions, provided that we have just been given this information that when a Jew shechs a kosher animal for a Jew, when a non-Jew shechs a kosher animal for a Jew, the animal is alive, dead? Something in between Shechita and the conclusion of convulsion. Okay, good. And it may be Eivor Menachai, it may not be Eivor Menachai, Machlokes, Rav Yochanan, and Chizkia. And it's, to say the least, it's confusing what its status is between the Shechita and the actual death. And so now the Gemara wants to know, so here's another way to test the same question. If, let's say, during this period of time, something is balua inside of the animal. Now, if the animal's dead, the animal's not going to shield that which is inside from the tuma. If the animal's alive, it is going to shield. So, it's just another way of asking the same question. Is the animal alive or is it dead? Amalei metam tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, well, you know, it's susceptible to tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, umatzeles? All right, and now what? And now it's subject to tumas ochlin, which means that it's susceptible to tuma and it could protect. Meaning the whole idea of something being able to protect that which is inside is because you yourself cannot become tame, or I should say better, the animal cannot become tame, and so therefore, because the animal can't become tame, it's going to shield that which is inside. Over here, if it's subject to tumas ochlin, it could be matzel. Amrle eno mitame tumas nevelos. Well, he says, well, let's not focus on the fact that it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. How about if we focus on the fact that it's not subject to Tumas Nevela until it's finished its convulsion? Velo Tatzil. And so therefore, being that it's not yet dead, so therefore it for sure should be able to protect that which is inside. Amar Abai, Eino Matzelas, Al Habluin, Shebesochet, Ametam, Tumas Ochlin. And Abai says, no, I don't want to focus on the Nevela aspect. Let's focus on the Tumas Ochlin. Because it's susceptible to Tumas Ochlin immediately after Shechita, so even though, to the question of alive or dead, let's say alive. Okay, Rav Yochanan says it, the Brisa says it, let's say alive. But because of its susceptibility to Tuma, so it cannot protect that which is inside, because how can it protect that which is inside if it itself can become Tame? And so Abai says, as far as I'm concerned, one is going to be it won't be able to protect that which is inside. Another way to ask the same question, again, a non-Jew shechs, a kosher animal, for a Jew, alive or dead, and I understand that this is this is an unusual way to be asking the same exact question, but harav'ah, chayev. Let's say someone performs bestiality of this animal between shechita and the conclusion of convulsion. And again, I know it's unusual, but the question legally is just the same question. If it's alive, that's an act of bestiality, capital punishment. If it's dead, it's a disgusting act, but it's not bestiality. So, so the Gemara says, well, again, if it's not subject to Tumas Nevela until the conclusion of convulsion, so it is alive. Therefore, the person who performs this act on the animal is going to be in violation of Mishkav Behema, eligible to the capital punishment. Okay. That concludes. That brings us to the end of a really difficult sugya in the Gemara, where we basically, the conclusion is very clear. It's just the conceptualization of this conclusion is admittedly very difficult. If a Jew were to be shechting a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, conversely, if a non-Jew were to be shechting a kosher animal for a Jew, even though the shechita act itself is not a significant act vis-a-vis the permitting of the animal, but in both of those cases, between shechita and the convulsion of the animal's alive. That's Rav Yochanan's conclusion. That's the Braisa's conclusion. The animal's alive. Ripping off a limb of the animal is Eiver Menachai. Ripping off meat of the animal is Basar Menachai. I'll just add the last two that we just learned. The animal's alive. I'll just do the last one. If someone were to perform Mishkav Behema to that animal in this period of time, he would be in violation of Mishkav Behema, eligible to capital punishment. So for all intents and purposes, the animal's alive. And meanwhile, and yet, because it was an act of shechita that was done, so either the person who did the shechita is Jewish, or the animal which shechita was done upon was a kosher animal, because you had one of the significant factors of what makes a good shechita, so therefore the animal itself, between shechita and the conclusion of convulsion, is eligible for tumas ochlin. Okay, that's a lot to wrap our heads around, but that's the Gemara's conclusion. Let's continue in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar Ha'ala. Okay, we are back to the discussion of the Mishnah, and we're wrapping up the Mishnah, and we're now talking once again about the Alal. Now remember, in yesterday's daf, we pointed out that what is the Alal, it is subject to a debate. But for the good news right now is that the Gemara acknowledged in yesterday's daf that Rav Yehuda has no doubt whatsoever. According to Rav Yehuda, Alal are the scraps of meat on the hide. As the butcher, as the shochet is flaying the animal, so his knife is going along the hide of the animal, he's really interested only and removing the hide and keeping the flesh on the animal, but little shreds, little pieces of flesh are coming off together with the hide. And that those small pieces of flesh, are they in fact significant or insignificant, is going to be the debate that we learned back in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama views them as in of themselves insignificant, but can be contributing factors towards the other pieces of flesh of an animal. And Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah writes, and it's the last line of the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer Halal HaMechunas Im Yesh Ba Kizayis B'Malkam Echad Chayev Alav. So if I have these scraps of meat on the hide and I put them together and I gather them together, you would be chayev over those scraps of meat. Okay. Now, and by the way, we're talking over here where the animal is dead, meaning, right, you can right now just don't, We're just talking about the animal is fully dead. So at this point in time now, these scraps of meat are nevela, and therefore subject to tumas nevela if you have an aggregate total of the kezias. I'm Rav Huna v'husha kanso. Now Rav Huna says that even within this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it is not enough that you just simply have the scraps of meat, but you have to go out of your way to put the scraps together. In other words, when these scraps are just simply connected to the hide and attached to the hide, in of themselves, they're not significant because most probably they're going to be disregarded. But if you go out of your way to put them together, so then there's a gilui das, the last Rashi on the Amud. The galidaita de lobat lemikara. Avan niskanis me'elav kamosha kansua tinokas acher hefshet lo ho ubatu mitchila venasa or sulo hada havibasar. De latumas oakland hu de mahanya machshav l'shavya uchla dafila or shashaka matamatumas oakland acher shasurach avalashavya basar lo. If Rashi points out, if they're just aggregated on their own, or a child did it who has no das, so then it's hide, and it's not going to get the status of nevela. However, if immediately after the flaying of the animal, someone troubles themselves to go through the problem of collecting all these scraps, so then under those circumstances, it's going to in fact be metamitumas ochlin. But it's not that you just simply because the scraps of meat on the hide, that's enough. According to Rav Huna, it's not enough. The Amar Rav Huna, continuing in the Gemara. Last line of Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Shnei chatzai zesim sheyeshna agabe or ha'or mevatlan. If I have two half kezesim of flesh on one piece of hide, so ha'or mevatlan. So at this point in time, it could be disregarded. It does not combine. It does not get us to the point of a nevela. Before continuing in the Gemara, look at the top of the Rashi on Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi is introducing a machlokas that we have not yet seen in the Gemara, and we're going to be seeing this machlokas, God willing, on Sunday morning. Plukta de Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Kiva, I'm reading the top of the Rashi.
Because, you have two pieces of meat.
Yad is only for Tumas Ochlin. We're not talking about Tumas Ochlin, we're talking about Nevela. Okay. So, Aliba Deman. So look at the top Rashi. Plukta de Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Kiva bepirkim bemasisim dektani hayu alav shnei chatzai zesim mitame bemasa sharei nasa kezayis nevela ve'ein mitame bemaga de'ein nogea v'chozer v'nogea. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, so when I have these two pieces of scraps of meat on the hide, if I pick up the hide, so I am tame through masa. I carried a kezayis. However, if I touch and touch, I'm not going to become tame because ain matame bama ain nogea v'chozer v'nogea. Because you only become tame when touching one kezayis at one time. Rabbi Akiva omer lo b'magav lo b'masa, and Rabbi Akiva says no and no. You're not going to be tame through maga for the reason we just articulated because you didn't touch one kezayis at one time, and you're not going to be chayv in masa as well. Now, why should that be? So Rashi goes on. Amal Rabbi Shmuel la mevatel or ul Rabbi Kiva mevatel. And so the answer is very simple, because when these scraps are connected to the hide, according to Rabbi Akiva, basically they now are totally disregarded. They have no status whatsoever. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Shmuel, they're not totally disregarded. Okay, this is a machlokas that we're going to see in the Mishnah Kuf Chav Dalet. So now Rav Huna makes a statement. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, Rav Huna's an Amora, and he's making a statement, and whose position is he following? Again, let's go back to the statement to Rav Huna, it's the last line. Shnei chatzai zesim shish yeshna agabe or ha'or mivatlan. The hide is going to be a mivatal. It's going to basically negate the flesh that's on it. Now, he's an Amora espousing a viewpoint within Rabbi Akiva, within Rabbi Shmuel. Like, where does he stand right now? And the Gemara articulates the question, top of the Amud. Or look, is he espousing the viewpoint of Rabbi Shmuel? It can't be, because Rabbi Shmuel says that the hide doesn't negate these pieces of meat. These pieces of meat are still significant. Haraya, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if I pick the hide up, I'm going to be tame, because I picked up a kezias of basar. So the hide doesn't negate it. And Ialiba, Ialiba to Rabbi Kiva, Pshita, Hamar Mevata or. And is he going like Rabbi Akiva? Well, then fine. But then I don't need Rav Huna to tell me something that Rabbi Kiva already espoused. And if he's siding with Rabbi Kiva, well, let him just simply say the halacha falls like Rabbi Kiva and be done with it. So, la'olam aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Huna's statement has to be within the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, obviously, this we have some explaining to do. Meaning, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the scraps of meat on the hide are not negated. And Rav Huna says they are negated. So how can Rav Huna be conforming to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel? So the Gemara explains. V'chi amar Rabbi Shmuel l'mevata or hanimila isha patasu chaya. Ava patasu sakin batil. So the Gemara says, well, it goes like this. When Rabbi Shmuel was describing how these pieces of meat that are connected to the hide are still significant, that's if the animal bit off a piece of the hide. Now we're going to have to say, that we're talking about a scenario in which the animal was immediately rendered in a vela. Whatever. I take that back. In other words, the animal anyway is going to become a nevela. Okay. The idea is as follows. If the hide that was ripped off was done so by another animal, by a predatory animal, so then we're going to say that the pieces of meat connected to the hide are not necessarily going to be negated. Masha Enkein. When you have a shochet or the butcher flaying the animal, cutting the hide off the animal, clearly his intention is, I'm cutting off the hide and I'm going to discard it. Discard it or, give it to the local sofer. But in other words, I'm done with it. And so by him cutting it off with a knife, so basically, even Rabbi Yishmael, this is what Rav Huna's point is, even Rabbi Yishmael says at that point in time, it's negated. And it does not have status and does not have Tumas Nevela. Okay, good. This is the way we are explaining Rav Huna within the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Tashma. Rav Yehuda Amar Halal Mekunasim Yesh Kezayis B'makum Echad Chayev Nalav. So Ve'am Rav Huna V'hu Shekanso. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's work this out. We go back to our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah in Kuf Yud Zayin, Amud Beis. We go back to our Mishnah, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have scraps of meat of a Kezayis, aggregated and collected, it's going to be a Nevela, and Rav Huna says, V'hu Shekanso. It's not enough that they're there, but you had to go out of your way to collect them. Now, so the Gemara says now, if let's imagine for just a moment that within the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, if you're flaying it with a knife, it's going to be negated, and even Rabbi Shmuel agrees to that, which we just got done saying that Rav Huna is teaching us that Rabbi Shmuel agrees to that point, that by flaying it with a knife, you have now negated the meat, so then Rav Huna damar ka Rabbi Shmuel. So then that's very good. So then Rav Huna is working within the position of Rabbi Yishmael. That's very good. But if you subscribe to the idea that, according to Rabbi Yishmael, if you're cutting it with a knife, it's going to be negated. So Rav Huna de Amar, come on. So then Rav Huna is making his statement within whose position? Certainly not Rabbi Kiva, and now not even Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says, no, what we could suggest is that when you flay it with a knife, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's not going to be negated. So, and as far as Rav Huna is concerned, where he's saying that you have to collect it, in other words, in of itself is going to be negated, it's going within the Shita Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says, really, it's going within the Shita Rabbi Kiva. Pshita, the Gemara says, at that point in time, isn't that obvious? Because Rabbi Kiva taught us that the moment that you disconnect, the hide from the flesh, any scraps of meat connected to the hide are going to be negated. That is the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. And if all Rav Huna is telling us is that if I go out of my way to collect the scraps, so then it's going to be good. So then basically what we're saying is that Rav Huna is working within the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. That's obvious, meaning what else would you have thought? The Gemara says, not necessarily. So Kamash Malan, time of the Rabbi Kiva, Min Mesha or Mevatlan. Loshna palachaya, loshna palatsakin. Kidiktani seifa mimne ma'am Rabbi Kiva mentar ba'or, mimne sha'or mevatlan. So the Gemara says, but what we gain from all this is clarity within the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says that the hide, that the scraps connected to the hide are mevutal. It is nothing to do with how the hide became disconnected from the animal. Whether the hide becomes disconnected through a knife, or whether the hide becomes disconnected by another predatory animal, it doesn't matter. Scraps connected to the hide, according to Rabbi Kiva, are default mevutal. Default, just simply disregarded. And then Rav Huna now is supplementing with the following. That's true, but if you're now going out of your way to collect the scraps of meat on the hide, so you can bring it back to give it status. Without that action being done, the default setting is that it simply has no status, not Tumas Ochlin status, not a Tumas Nevela status. It simply does not have status. That is where the Gemara is landing right now. Is it could be? It certainly could be Rabbi Shmuel's position. But as far as Rav Huna is concerned, it could be that he's just simply clarifying Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint as well. That would be the Chiddush of Rav Huna within the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. Yes.
Is that because it's Akshavei? Because like.
It sounds like that. It does sound like that.
What if those pieces are important by one person but not the other?
We generally follow the general attitude towards it. Right. The Gemara's language is batla daita etzel kol adam. That's generally how it's viewed as, you know, the outliers and the thinking of the outliers. Right. But it's more than just achshave, meaning it's not just achshave, he's literally cutting off the pieces of meat. So it's more than just a machshava. He is, you know, clearly he's going after those scraps. Okay. Our mission that we're going to start right now is going to be departing from the previous mission in the following manner. The previous mission we were focusing on Tumas Ochlin. In other words, we were looking at meat vis-a-vis it being a edible food and therefore becoming susceptible to Tumas Ochlin. But that's not an avatuma. It's not nevela. It just simply means that because it's a food, or it's a shomer to a food, or it accessorizes a food, so therefore it is going to be susceptible to tuma, eligible to becoming tame, but it itself is not an avatuma, it's not a source of tuma. Our Mishnah is going to be talking about an avatuma, and specifically that of nevela. Now, the tuma nevela, the parameters are much clearer and much smaller. In order for the flesh of the animal has to be a nevela, it has to be flesh of the animal. There's no concept of shomer, there's no concept of yad, vis-a-vis tumas nevela. As a conduit of the tuma, so it will conduct the tuma in different directions. But vis-a-vis actually being a source of tumas nevela, no. It has to be the basar, it has to be the edible portions of the animal. And over here, what we're going to be learning in this Mishnah, it's one very simple idea, and that is that if something is not immediately edible, but it needs a little bit of work, a little bit of cooking, in order to become edible, it can become subject to tumas nevela, even though it's not as easily edible as, let's say, the meat, the muscle of the animal. Okay. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Eilish arasim kibisaram. Now, we're going to be looking at various hides of the animal that are, generally speaking, of course, hides are totally inedible. We're not talking about a bird. We're talking about an animal. The hides are totally inedible under most circumstances. It's leather. I don't even mean it figuratively. I mean it literally. It's leather. So they're not edible. And that's true for most of the hide of the animal. But there are various hides that are surrounding various anatomical portions of the animal that are so soft that they could be rendered edible and therefore subject to tumas nevela. Eilish arusayim kibisaram. So the hide is going to be like the basar or ha'adam. The starting point of this Mishnah is really unusual and unseemly. The Mishnah starts off with the hide of a human being. Now we know that in order to give off tumas mace, you need the flesh of the human. And the Mishnah over here is entertaining the idea that the skin is like the flesh and that it also will contribute to giving off tumas ohel. We're going to come back to that. Or chazir shel yishuv. The local pig, the pig of the yishuv, is going to be, the hide of that animal is going to be soft, and therefore edible, and therefore subject to tumas nevela. It's clear, I mean, I know we made this point already numerous times, but the tumas nevela is for both kosher and non-kosher animals alike, obviously. Rav Yehuda amar af or chazir habar. Rav Yehuda includes even the wild pig and the hide of the wild pig. He feels that that too is soft enough, where it's edible, and therefore subject to tumas nevela. Or chater shel gamal haraka. The soft hump of the camel is going to be considered tumas nevela. Or haroshel egol harach. The head of a young calf is also soft, can be rendered edible, subject to tumas nevela. V'or haprasos, the hide of the hooves. V'or beis haboshes, the female genitalia of the animal, its hide is also going to be rendered tumas nevela. V'or hashalil, hide of the fetus. Or shel tachas ha'alia, underneath the tail. The hide underneath the tail. V'or ha'anaka v'akok v'alta v'hachomet. The hides of various creepy, crawly animals. This week's parsha, we will be reading together. There are 8 of them that are identified as a source of tuma, what is known throughout the Gemara as Shmona Shratzim. The Torah counts 8 of them altogether, starting in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chavtes, v'zelachem atamei b'sheretz ha'sharetz al ha'aretz, and the Torah identifies 8 of them. Hachole v'achbar v'atzav l'mineu, first 3, and then another 5. The next pasuk lamed. V'anaka v'akoch v'halata'a v'achomet v'hatinshamis. We already pointed out there is an oddity that one of the shratzim has the same name as also one of the non-kosher birds. So, right, something to look forward to in this week's parsha. Anyway, so of them, the Gemara says that 4 of them, the anaka, the koch, the atah, and the chomet, 4 of them, are their hides are so soft, it will also have the status of a nevela. Rav Yehuda amar halata kechulda. Now Rav Yehuda says that the halata is going to be treated like a chulda, where it's the hide of a chulda is not considered like its flesh, and neither is the hide of the lita'a. V'kulun sh'avdano shehilach b'em k'dei avoda tahorin chutz me'or ha'adam. Now, these hides which we have just identified as being soft and edible, If, however, you work these hides, so they're no longer soft and edible and no longer going to be a source of tumah. And they're no longer going to be subject to tumas nevela. Rav Yochanan Ben Uri Omer, Shmona Shratzim Yeshlam Oros. Rav Yochanan Ben Uri says that all eight of the Shratzim identified in this week's Parsha are going to have hides that are not the same as their basar. The first to give the Gemara Amar Ula Dvar Torah or Adam Tahor Matam Amrutame, Gzerah Shemayase Adam Oros Aviv V'imo Shetichin. Okay, there's no other way to say it. It is a strange Gemara. The Gemara over here entertains the idea that the skin of a human, min ha-Torah, is not considered flesh, is not going to give off tumas mace, but the Chachamim made a gzera. And the reason why they made a gzera is because some people took the skins and kept the skins. And, if I could be just intellectually honest, the Gemara here describes how people would do this with the skins of their own parents. Now, I know, the reaction is all going to be the same. It sounds just grotesque. It sounds grotesque. And who would even think of doing that? No. Right. And so, admittedly, the Gemara over here is just difficult to understand. It's difficult to not understand. It's difficult to just process. Like, nobody would think about doing that. But the Gemara says that they made such a gzera. Now, v'ika d'masna la seifa. Now, what comes out over here, right, aside from the fact that it's gzera d'rabanan, meaning the key component to this first version is that the skin of a human is not flesh vis-a-vis tumas mace, and therefore min ha-Torah does not give off tumas ohal. It's gzera d'rabanan. Now, in the second version, v'ika d'masna la seifa kol she'ivnon she'hilech b'hem k'dei avodah tahor n'chutz mei or adam. Now, in the second version, the comment over here of the Gemara is going on the hide of human that was actually processed. Amar ula dvar Torah or Adam shavdu tahor. Now, processed human skin is meikar hadin tahor umatam amru tamei. Now, the reason why they said tamei gzera shemayase Adam oros avivi imo shetichin, because people then would have preserved the skins of their parents. Now, mandamasni l'areisha kol shekein aseifa mandamasni aseifa v'areisha tuma daraisa. Now, there's a big difference whether you learn the gzera on the first part of the Mishnah or on the second part of the Mishnah. If you're learning the gzera on the second part of the Mishnah, it means that in its original form, the skin of humans has the same status as the flesh of humans, min ha-Torah. And so that means that tumas mace is not just the muscle, human muscle, but it's also human skin as well. And it's only when it's processed does it lose that status. Masha Enkein, in the first version of the Gemara, where the gzera was going on the first case of the Mishnah, the skin of a human is not min ha-Torah mace, it's not human remains, to give off tumas ohel, and it's only a gzera d'rabbanan in doing so. So basically what we just learned together is there's a machlokus, let's say amarayim, or machlokus of versions of the amarayim, whether or not the skin, human skin is considered an av hatuma in tumas mace. Or ha-chazir. And basically the Gemara gives a very simple way of presenting the machlokas between the Tanayim in terms of the domestic pig versus a wild pig, and the skin, is it considered soft or not soft? Or chater shel gamal haraka, we're talking about the hump of the camel. V'kama gamal harachal, amar ulam Rav Yeshua ben Levi kozman shelo ta'ana. As long as it is not started burdening, carrying packages for people. So, right, because once it starts carrying, then it hardens it, and then it's not going to be like the flesh. And it's not going to have tumas nevela. The Gemara asks two questions in succession. Question number one, it's old enough to start burdening, but it hasn't actually done so yet. What would be the status of the hump? And the inverse question, the inverted question, let's say it wasn't old enough to burden, but its owner started having its shoulder weights even at a really young age. Is it going to now be considered not the same status of flesh? Take both these questions, go unresolved. We're talking about the young camel. Can we have an age? So So as long as it's not been carrying a burden. So Reish Lakish loved the answer, and he told the person who provided the answer, such a good answer, you could sit next to me. Now you remember there are other Gemaras that Reish Lakish was very selective of who he would associate with and who he would talk with. But in other words, but over here, when somebody gives him just one answer to one question, he gives him a lot of kavod. Yosef Reb Zerva Kamibayle Kamagamal Haraka. Contrast that with Rabbi Zeira, who started his life in Bavel. And he asked the same question. We're talking about a young camel. What age are we talking about? Amalei Ravin Barchina Hachiyamar Ulam Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Kozman Shelo Ta'ana. As long as it has not started shouldering a burden. So Havi Ketani La. Now, when Rabbi Zeira heard the answer, Rabbi Zeira didn't react. And so the one providing the answer repeated the answer a second time. Amalei Chad Yehavilach Amart. So Rabbi Zeira says to the one providing the answer, do you really like only know one piece of information? And therefore you're just repeating that one piece of information again and again? Because you literally have nothing else to say? Now, admittedly, that is a sharp comment. Now, Tachazimah ben Tkifa Aridi Yisrael Chasid Debava. And the Gemara now just takes this opportunity to make a comment about, you know, those quote-unquote, those really hard rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, like Reish Lakish, and not so difficult. Meaning, Reish Lakish heard this person give an answer, Reish Lakish says, I love it, come, sit right next to me. And meanwhile, the Chassidei Bavel, like Rabbi Zeira, like all you did is just repeat the answer a second time, and Rabbi Zeira is jumping all over you. And so, I understand the irony of learning the Talmud Bavli, and the Gemara is not shy about being critical of its own type. Okay. V'or harosh. The hide of the head of a young calf, v'kama egel harach, ula amar ben shnaso. Ula says it has to be within its first year. Rav Yochanan amar kozman shiyoneg. Rav Yochanan says it has to be nursing. Now, ibai lohechi kamar ula ben shnaso v'hu shiyoneg. Now, over here we have two criteria. What is the interplay between these two criteria? A classic question of the Gemara. Over here, did Ula mean it has to be within a year and it has to be nursing? The Amar le Rav Yochanan kozman shiyoneg. And Rav Yochanan says, nah, just has to be nursing. Odima Ula ben shnaso kamar. Bain yoneg, bain she'eno yoneg. As far as Ula was concerned, his only criteria is has to be within his first year. V'amalei Rav Yochanan ben shenaso v'hu she'yoneg. And it's Rav Yochanan who requires both criteria. So, Tashma, Rav Yochanan amar kozman she'yoneg, v'im Isa v'hu she'yoneg mi ba'yelei. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, we could just see it clearly from the syntax. Because if you look at Rav Yochanan says, kozman she'yoneg, meaning as long as it's nursing. If he was adding a criteria to Ula, he would say v'hu she'yoneg. But by virtue of the fact that it says kol zman she'yoneg, it means that nursing is the only criteria. What about the hide of the head of a young calf? Is it going to be mitame? Is it nevela? Now, it is a funny question because it's our Mishnah. But as we'll just see in a moment, Rav Yochanan is going to be unfazed by the fact that it's the Mishnah. Amrle ain't a mitame. So Rav Yochanan's response is, okay, it's not mitame. So Amrle li maraten rabbeinu lo shor osein kibesaram v'or rosh ha'egel arach. So he says, okay, but what about our Mishnah? The Mishnah includes the head of a young calf as something that gives off tumas nevela because it is so soft. Amrle al tikniteni. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, he says, please stop bothering me. B'loshon yachid ani shone asa. I know the Mishnah. But I also know that the Mishnah is not Das Rabim, it's Das Yachid. It's one Tana's opinion. Ditanya, and how do I know it? Based on the following Braisa. Hashochid is Ola Lahakter Kazai's Meor Shatachas Ha'alya. Chutzim Koma Pasol Ve'embo Karis. Chutzim Manu Pigo Ve'chayev Mela Karis. So here we go back to our classic discussion of Pigol. For now, all we need to know, suffice to say, that Pigol has to be on an edible food. Over here, under consideration is the hide underneath the tail. Soft and edible. And therefore, if you have the proper machshavas, when I say proper, I really mean improper. But in other words, if you have the right machshavas, so it's eligible for pigel. Either pigel minor or pigel major, if you don't know what I mean. So go back to all my shiurim back in Zvachim and Menachos. Now, Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum. Omer mishum Rav Yaakov v'chena yor Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum. Omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. And so over here, here's the point. A whole series of Mesorah, all going back to Rabbi Shimon, making the following statement. Now, this is Rabbi Shimon, meaning it's a Das Yachid. And that is Echad or Prasos, whether it's the Hosh Echad or Harosh al Egel Harach, or the head of a young calf, or Echad, or the hide of the head of a young calf, or Echad or Shotachas Ha'alya, or the hide underneath the tail, V'chol, Shemanu Chachamim, Gamitum Sharosem Kibbisaram. And anything mentioned in that Mishnah in the ninth parak of Chulin, otherwise known as our Mishnah. Lahavi Orshal Beis Aboshes. including also the female genitalia of the animal. Chutzim kama pasul ve'im bokares, chutzim manu pigo v'chayaven alav kares. So all these are considered edible, and therefore subject to the pigol prohibition. Now, the point of all this is that when Rabbi Yochanan is learning this brisa, he comes to the realization that this is our Mishnah, but it's also a das yachid. So when asked the question halachically, is the hide of the head of a young calf, is that subject to Tumas Nevela? Rabbi Yochanan's answer is no. The Mishnah says yes. The Mishnah is a das yachid, and he doesn't subscribe to the das yachid of our Mishnah.